now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely and talented
yes.
and organized and professional Jenny Kaneko.
All true.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? I'm in such a great mood now that you complimented me so profusely.
Well, I'm just buttering you up because we're not going to do a pop quiz this week.
This is just a gift to me. My birthday's not till September. What's going on?
I think it's just because of the snow that we had in New York City over the weekend.
You know, just like the subways, a lot of snow backs up pop quizzes.
Yeah,
it's really hard to get them running again.
Yeah, I think there was a pop quiz ban that the governor installed.
Right, so got to clear off all the...
But what is not clogged and what is not full of snow is our satellite uplink connecting us through the internet of tubes to our senior Philadelphia correspondent, Michael Bertha. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm literally none of the adjectives that you used to describe Gemma.
You're all of the above.
Yes, you are.
Not lovely, not organized. It's a nice contrast.
You're in Philly, so what? It's like you're the crass and
rude.
Aggressive.
Yeah, they use
the John. You're a John.
Yeah. I'm a John. Embodiment of that word.
I have to ask you, John, because there's a scene in Creed where they talk about John, the word John.
Yeah, very overtly.
Yeah,
they're not subtle about it.
So, well, my question is: it just Philly? Is it like Philly and Jersey? Is it like a Mid-Atlantic thing? Because I didn't know about this until I met you. I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah, it's just silly. Like, I grew up in the burbs, and I didn't really, like, we didn't hear it that much. We knew about it. We knew what it was, but we didn't use it. It wasn't in the suburban vernacular.
Okay.
But, like, right across the river in Jersey, so, like, Camden and, like, super South Jersey,
mm-hmm.
And the city itself uses John. You know, it's in the lexicon to the point where, like, now that I've been here for, like, 6 years now, and I use it constantly.
Wow.
It's lazy, but yeah.
I'm reading this book right now, Loving Day, that takes place in Philly, and this guy has been in Wales for a really long time, and he comes back to Philadelphia, and then he's like trying to find the word to describe his like something that he's looking at. He's like, you know what it is? It's a John. It's like a big coming home moment for him.
Aw, what a powerful moment.
It was very powerful.
Well, guys, we don't have time for a Cup Forecast pop quiz. We definitely don't have time to talk about
John's.
The etymology of the word John. We need to dive right into this. We got a lot coming up in this show. We're going to tackle what baseball question we would ask an advice columnist. That's super important. Maybe the most important thing we've ever tackled on the Cut Forecast.
Huh.
We're going to talk about which major league players should be on TV shows that are on there right now. Josh Donaldson appearing on History Channel's Vikings. So we're going to see who else maybe should follow in that mold. We also, Gemma, you spoke with Tyler Beattie.
I did. He's a prospect in the Giants system.
So we'll hear a little bit more about that. But before we get to all of that, here's the first question that I must pose to the two of you. Noah Syndergaard tweeted in his excitement about Yoenis Cespedes re-signing with the New York Mets that he would love for Yo to be his roommate, which... Hey,
it's
you know
really
what?
Cute.
That is adorable. That's half the fun of being a professional baseball player is living with other professional baseball players, I guess. So that got us wondering, obviously, which major leaguer would make the best roommate. I'm not sure. I had a thought process and a logic that I put into this, but I'm curious to hear what you guys say. Mike, why don't we start with you since you're in Philly right now and you're far away. And so, I don't know, maybe we'll feel closer if you go first. So why don't you let us know
first?
Yeah,
I can follow that logic.
All right.
So two names immediately came to mind when you posed this question. The first is David Price.
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple of reasons. Mainly, he just signed a massive contract this offseason. So if I'm living with David Price, I'm going to assume that the apartment is pretty sick. Like,
fair
I don't
enough.
Think that he's living. You know, I bet you he's got nice digs, is my point.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's that. Plus, it also means that if I'm living with David Price, I'm probably also living with Astro.
This is really
and
the
like,
key
I'm
point.
I'm a dog guy, and you know, sign me up for more Astro. That thing's adorable.
Would Astro get along with your dog?
Yeah, my dog's friendly. I've got a Lhasa Apso mix, a mutt. But he's super friendly with other dogs. So, yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know what Astro's temperament's like, but
seems chill.
Astro's clearly an awesome
dog. Would love to have her, you know, another dog in her house.
Well, there you go. You know what you should do? You should. Do you remember when they turned Fenway into an Airbnb?
Yeah.
And they like rented out. That's what you should do. You should live in like Fenway Park.
Yes. Yeah. I actually joked that would be my dream apartment. Because I wrote about last year. We covered the college or the university that built the dorm into the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
The baseball players live at the stadium. Like that's awesome. Like just to wake up and not have to go further than 10 feet to get to a baseball field. That's my dream. So. Yeah, if David Price happens to subscribe to the Cut Forecast, and you know, I'd rather live with him than a Craigslist rando. So
that is
the
true.
Dog together for a play date.
That is definitely true.
And then the other thought I had was Jake Arrieta, just because he's super fit and like I imagine he eats really well and he's like well kempt, like he's got a beard, but he strikes me as someone who's really clean.
Okay.
Like I feel like we wouldn't. I feel like he wouldn't be. A liability.
It feels like he'd
be easy to live with.
That makes perfect sense to me. I think those are two good choices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Price was also on my list, mostly because of Astro and Louie, his other dog.
Yeah.
As I noted in the last podcast, I'm really just excited for Astro at all times. I just want him to be everywhere.
You're really just here for the dogs.
I am, yes. I don't think that's a crazy position to take.
No,
really.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, what do you, Gemma, who do you think would make the best roommate of all of the players?
Well,
in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I did consider David Price, obviously, but I ultimately settled on Dee Gordon.
Okay.
Because Dee Gordon is a very relaxed guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is calm, which I think is important in living. he likes to cook, which is nice because I also like to cook, so we could cook together and try out fun recipes. He said that he can like throw down as a cook too on the Marlins. Like he could defeat all of the Marlins as best cooks. I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. We can make dinner together. And then also he respects the rules of a civil society by shaming people who don't. Like when Giancarlo Stanton ate a Kit Kat bar without breaking it to pieces. That's crazy. That behavior is in defiance of all of the rules of society. So I feel like someone who can respect those kinds of rules would also make a good roommate.
Oh, I see. So that he respects the rules of society, thus he'll respect
apartment
the social
rules.
Contract of
yes.
being
Oh, it's my turn to do dishes because we made the rules.
You're extrapolating his opinion on Kit Kats and proper candy consumption to, you know, suggest that he'd be good in all aspects of life in that regard.
Yes, well, I feel that if you are just aware that there's a social contract there, you know, you're going to also be like, okay, well, you know, my roommate got toilet paper last time, so now I will get the toilet paper. That's just something that you could infer because you're already good at making those inferences.
Well, now here's the question, though. One of the big things that people don't like roommate situations is passive-aggressive notes,
mm-hmm.
where you leave a note and you clearly want to address something like roommate, but you don't outright say it.
Yeah.
Is not his tweet about Giancarlo Stanton eating the Kit Kat bar incorrectly a passive-aggressive note when you really think about it?
Well, I guess that would be the risk, that he would just tweet pictures of the apartment and be like, maybe some people shouldn't leave 400 books in the living room.
That is true. Maybe some people shouldn't do
but
that.
But then I would become a viral Twitter star, and I don't think that would be all bad.
So I see. I see how it is. Well, that's an interesting take.
Also, you know, he's just a fun guy. I think we would have fun.
He does seem really fun. That's
he likes karaoke.
Yeah.
He's, you know, open to life experiences. So we could hang out, but we wouldn't need to hang out that much because obviously he's got team responsibilities. But he also is friends with a lot of his teammates. He specifically is like, he's like, oh, I'm good friends with Ichiro, which is awesome. Because then Ichiro
really
could come over
this.
And hang out.
Yeah, you're just using him to get to Ichiro at this
obviously.
Point.
Obviously.
Okay, and it all becomes very clear. Now, I will say the food thing is smart. The cooking thing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't write this down, but Adam Jones would be a really good choice.
Yeah, he would be.
Because he's fun and he loves food. And yep. I spoke to him about some of the Cincinnati food when we were there, and he felt very passionately about it, which I like people who care about their food.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Well, you'd be living life on the edge if you're living with Adam Jones, because you never know when you're going to get a pie in the face.
Exactly.
That is true, too.
You know,
he's like
walking from the bedroom into the living room, and bam.
You could make like a, you could be YouTube celebrities where you prank each other. People do that all the time on YouTube.
Yep. That could be you.
That could be you. But that's not who I went with. I'm as usual, I had multiple suggestions.
Of course
here.
You did.
And
you could just live in a big house together.
Yeah. But so the first one I thought of was somebody who I'd have a really good time with, who'd be fun. And so I first thought Yasiel Puig, but then I thought that would be really tough. I think day in and day out living with just the childlike enthusiasm of Yasiel yes. Puig. So I didn't go with that.
Your house would just be full of action figures, minions everywhere. Yeah, many minions.
Well, so then I thought, okay, maybe you don't want any baseball player as your roommate, because if you go into a dugout after a game, it is just completely disgusting. There are sunflower seeds everywhere, and there are cups everywhere, and there's just bottles of water everywhere, and pine tar, and it's just, it is filthy and gross, and maybe none of them would be good to live with. So that was my first thought, but then I thought, well, no, because the bullpen is actually pretty clean. If you ever go out to a bullpen, it's nice. Well organized, they keep it tight. So I thought maybe a relief pitcher, and then I thought, well, which relief pitcher would be the most fun to live with? Chad Qualls has played for like every team.
Your favorite,
and I love Chad Qualls, so that would be fun. He'd have great stories of like the various Major League Baseball stadia and the various things that happen. But then I thought, no, I could do better than Chad Qualls. I mean, I love Chad Qualls, but
Chad Qualls, are you listening? Dakota thinks he can do better than you.
Well, so this is what I thought. Is that you want somebody who's sort of clean and quiet, keeps to themselves, but is also somewhat interesting. And then I thought, well, why not just, if I want somebody who's, you know, quiet, keeps to themselves, but why not just go for the best and say Mike Trout?
Yeah, okay. And, I feel like Mike Trout is a very good roommate pick,
right?
Because he obviously would be respectful. You wouldn't have to see him that much because he's very busy.
He's very busy.
Yeah.
And here's the key component of it all. In the morning when I get dressed, have to go to work, he'll already know what the weather's going to be like for that day, and he can let me know so that I'll be appropriately dressed no matter the precipitation.
So you just want to live with Mike Trout because you're too lazy to download an app on your phone that would tell you that.
So yeah. I will say that I've got a friend who's a meteorologist, and he just moved out to Denver, and he's living with my friends, and he's like, they wake up and they watch him on the morning news.
Oh, really?
And they said that it really is. It's so much fun to wake up and not have to check that weather app.
See?
Just, like, you know, wake up and have a note or a text message that says, hey, this is what the weather's going to be like today.
Isn't that better?
It's like a little personal touch to something that's, you know, normally a very impersonal interaction with you and your phone.
Well, and I have had the app lie to me and tell me it's going to be sunny and it's cold, or tell me it's going to rain and it doesn't rain. And Mike Trout's not going to lie to me. Mike Trout's the best player in Major League Baseball. He's going to get this right.
Or even if he gets it wrong, at least there's a face to the to that incorrect.
Yeah, I can take it out of it.
There's someone, you know.
I'm going to find Mike Trout, and we're going to make a Mike Trout weather app. And what it's going to be is it's going to be personalized messages, but obviously they won't be really personalized, but it'll be engineered. Like, you tell the app some facts about yourself, and then something in the voice of Mike Trout will tell you every day what the weather is.
Or he could just tweet the weather.
Yeah, I guess he could just tweet the weather.
Mike, please do that.
In every city
that would really
in the
help
United
us.
States.
That would help us all.
Every
all
day.
Right, let's move on here. Guys, that was just too silly. We need to get a little bit more serious here. And it's time to ask for some advice. All right, now, this past week, somebody wrote into an advice column, a newspaper advice column, and they were asking for advice in this new friendship that they had with a professional athlete. And it turned out that it was the exact plot line of the Keith Hernandez episode of Seinfeld. And we all had a nice laugh about it. But it really got us wondering, you know, an advice columnist is actually a great place to ask for baseball and sports advice. And so what questions might you want to pose to an advice columnist that about your baseball fandom, about baseball in general? And then maybe we can take this time now to actually try to answer those questions. How's that sound?
That sounds delightful.
All right, Gemma, what do you got? What baseball questions?
All right, advisors.
Do you need advice on? And then Mike and I will do our best to help you.
Okay, so I really enjoy baseball and I like going to games. However, a majority of my friends are theater people who don't care at all about any sport whatsoever. However, I would like to convert them to my fandom so that they will come hang out with me at sporting events, and so that I have more than like three people to text when an exciting trade goes off, one of whom is my dad and the other one of whom is my cousin. So it's like, hey family, do you care? And you and like you guys, DM you late at night being like, you guys want to talk about Justin Upton?
I'm glad we're last in line.
Well, I mean, I feel that I bother you enough at work. Yeah, I shouldn't bother you when we're not all here at the office.
Yeah.
But so my question, my advice I would like to know is, how do I convince my friends, my arty friends, that sports are worth their time?
That's a great question. And I do think that we can help you out with that.
Okay.
I'll start and I'll say that I feel like the important thing to remember about sports is that sports basically are just theater. It's the mm-hmm. same thing. I know we're both theater majors, so we obviously know this pretty acutely, but it's all performance. There's a stage, there are lights, there are characters, there's narrative. All of that is there. All you have to do is just take the time to learn all of the pieces of the puzzle so that you can enjoy the story being that is unfolding in every single game.
And on top of that, there's an unpredictability to the sport that almost enhances the drama, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Where, oh, yeah. I mean, that's my favorite thing, is that you can't really have spoilers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. As long as you're watching live. Yeah, and I guess that's the point. It's a dying art.
So what do I do? Do I just drag them all to a game with me?
So I think step one would be to take them to a game with you. Uh-huh. I think step two, the other thing you could do is write a theater review of the game you saw. And, you go to the game, and instead of, like, a game recap that you would read in a newspaper, you write it as though it was a theater review and a production you saw, and then give them that and say, look, that's what happened. If you want to see that, you got to go to these games.
That's a great idea,
yeah,
actually.
Look at that.
And then I'll just Photoshop Ben Brantley's name on the bottom.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Ben Brantley loved this production of Mets versus Nationals. Why don't you go see it?
You could also apply them with ballpark food. I feel like that'll work.
Yeah, that's also a really good strategy.
Even if you're not into sports, you're into dollar hot dogs, right?
Yeah, that's the more cynical strategy, I suppose, is to just
yeah.
give them food.
Hey, guys, Shake Shack is there.
Yeah, come eat Shake Shack with me.
That'd probably work, honestly.
Yeah, well, that you've depressed me now. No, they should go and they should love the game.
All right. I think you guys made good arguments. I'll just play them this part of the podcast.
Yeah, just be like, listen. Yeah. Listen to these two yo-yos. Explain to me why you should like baseball.
Who do you call it a yo-yo?
Me, twice. All right, Mike, what do you got? What's your question? Because it's a yo-yo. It went down and it came back.
There you go.
Mike, what question do you need advice on?
So I've, for the past couple of seasons, I've been dealing with a bit of an existential crisis. I could use some help, almost, advice toward, picking a coping strategy.
Okay.
I grew up a Phillies fan, and I still am. They're my favorite team. I'm obsessed. Like, my mood, comes and goes with the Phillies. But at the same time, my favorite player far and away is Bryce Harper now. And, every time Bryce Harper and the Nationals do well, it directly affects the Phillies. And right now, the Phillies are in a rebuilding stage, and it hasn't really been an issue for me yet. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel for the Phillies, and I'm really excited about the crop of players that they have coming up. And I'm legitimately concerned about what's going to happen when, Aaron Nola faces off against Bryce Harper this season. And I thought that maybe a third party who's not so close to either entity might be able to coach me in, how to qualify my guilt, if that makes sense.
Well, Mike, I think part of this is just growing up. I think you get older, and the things that you loved as a child, sometimes you have to put those away and realize that now you're a different person. You have different priorities, and different things in life are a bigger deal to you now than they once were. And that's okay. And you just have to accept that and understand that some things that you once loved, you love a little less now. And that's just the nature of time passing.
Wow.
Are you sure that you don't have an advice column?
Wow. I'm going to give you the exact opposite advice.
Okay.
Because I think that you can never have, there's not a finite amount of love in your heart to give, Mike. The more love you give, the more love there is. It's just this endless resource. So there's, we've talked about this before as well on Cut Forecast, how fandom can be just this growing thing. You mm-hmm. like players, so you start to root for that team, and then players from that team go somewhere else, and you still like them, so you follow them, and maybe you find someone else on their new team that you also enjoy watching, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have this all-embracing love of the sport. So, of course, there's going to be some degree of conflict, but I think for the next couple of years, you can just let that, develop into something and realize that there is, at a certain point in every season, going to be a moment when you kind of know which way it's going for one of your teams.
Yeah.
And just embrace it.
And just embrace it from there while still kind of, hoping the Phillies are going to win this game. I hope they do. And when they face off against each other, you have to go with your gut at the time. My friend, my one theater friend who I did successfully manage to convert to baseball, she's from DC. Mm-hmm. She likes the Nationals. She really likes Bryce as well. But she's a big Mets fan now. She's like really, really into the Mets. So we went to a couple of Mets Nats games, and she said that she was hoping the Mets would win. That was her dream, mm-hmm. you know, is that the Mets would actually come out on top, but that it wouldn't be a crushing defeat for her, which is sort of the best thing you can hope for, is that you're not going to just be totally destroyed when your team loses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been very therapeutic. I should thank you guys.
Well, good. I'm glad that we could be helpful.
Yes.
In this moment.
I feel refreshed.
We should just have people call in to the Ask Gut Forecast and just
ask us your questions,
and we'll do our best to give you the answers that we think can help you in these trying baseball times.
What impression is that?
It's not an impression.
That's supposed to be.
That's my radio advice.
I should have tried to do a Delilah impression.
Delilah. Yeah. All right. Well, my question, you know, you guys actually both kind of touched on a couple of ones that mm-hmm. I was going to ask, so I guess I'll go with this one, which is, I work early in the morning. And I'm usually the first one here, and that makes it difficult for me to stay up late and watch late games, including one of my favorite teams to watch on TV, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And of course, this may or may not be Vin Scully's last year.
I mean,
it's probably
he said he was going to be.
Yeah, so it's like kind of a big deal to listen to as many Vin Scully games as possible. But these are my issues: is that I can't stay up late. And I'm really bad at, like, the DVR watch later thing, or, like, you know, oh, I'll be working, listen to the game. So what do I do? Because I have this simultaneous urge to watch as many Dodgers games as possible, but also sleep as much as I can possibly sleep, so that when I come in here to work, I'm at my 100% best. What do you guys think? What should I do?
Well, my advice to you would be to turn... You know, allow Vin Scully's voice to wash over you during your morning commute. So that's what I would do. Is I wouldn't stay up to watch it. I mean, getting good night's sleep affects your life in a way that very few things can. Waking up and feeling energized is, you know, it'll help you be a better baseball fan if you're energized, mm-hmm. truthfully. And I think that Vin Scully's voice will be there for you in the morning, and it will, like, you can actually begin to enjoy your commute and your, you know, those early mornings if you wake up and you have Vin Scully's voice to look forward to. So, I mean, you've got an MLB TV subscription. You know, I would stream the games on my way to the office, and, you know, just keep Vin Scully in your pocket.
That's a good idea.
I
don't get the full game, but I get just enough to sate the Vin Scully appetite.
That's also
Even if you only listen long enough to get like two or three Vin Scully stories, mm-hmm. you know, that's better than the drive time radio you would get otherwise.
that is definitely true.
I'm going to add that to my list of apps to make. So Mike Trout weather app. Also, Vin Scully, you shake your phone and just a Vin Scully story comes out.
That'd be great.
It would be nice,
That'd
right?
That'd be a great app.
It would be the best app.
You've disrupted all apps.
I'm gonna crowdfund it starting the minute I leave the
Fantastic.
Studio. Yes. Okay, so my advice is a little different.
Okay.
You're young and youthful.
I am.
So I think that you can occasionally make the time to stay up. Not all the time, because obviously you work, but
right.
you don't work every day.
I work every day.
Stop.
I've never not worked. I work every day, 20 hours a day.
You have time off. You have weekends off. You sometimes have ski days.
I do.
So
I do sometimes go skiing. That is true.
So why not watch a game on the bus to Vermont when you go skiing?
That's a good point.
Listen to it. Well, I mean, obviously, it's going to be, you have to listen to an old one.
So you're
not
saying
go skiing too long.
The time elsewhere.
Make the time elsewhere. But also, you know, I know you like to get up early to watch soccer games.
I do.
And then you take sadness naps when Liverpool is terrible.
I definitely do that.
So there's no reason you can't, you know, take a nap on a different day. You can like go get home from work
and then
take a half an hour nap, you know, dinner.
That's not a bad
stay up
idea.
A little bit later. You don't have to watch the whole game, obviously, because they usually start at 10 o'clock.
I like napping.
Yeah, napping
That's
is great.
Idea.
So you still get that extra sleep. And then on some days, you might as well just stay up, you know, say a game goes 18 innings. Just watch it, stay up, watch the Liverpool game.
That's a great idea. That would be great. That would not be soul crushing at all. 18 innings of baseball, because you know that like the second nine, most of those are 0-0.
Yes, yes.
And then have to watch Liverpool draw 0-0. That'd be great.
But Vin Scully will be there for a lot of that.
That's true.
Sadly, you can't bring him to the Liverpool game, but
no. Oh, man,
you know.
What if?
Yeah.
Well, that would be the best.
Just remember, you're young and youthful, and you'll sleep when you're dead.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks to both of you. You guys made me feel a lot better about that. Thank you.
We should do this weekly. This is just a support group. It's just talk about our baseball feelings.
We'll share. We'll sit in a circle. Maybe I'll drum.
Boom.
All right, let's move on here to this next topic, which is thus. Josh Donaldson had a cameo on a TV show called Vikings.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. On History Channel, I think, which is weird.
Yeah, it's been on for a while, right?
That's weird, because...
Original programming on the History Channel?
Yeah, a little weird.
Well, it's like historical Game of Thrones.
Okay, but also, yeah. I get that you can't show World War II documentaries 24 hours a day, but it's a little odd.
Who?
That's true. Well, says History Channel, now that they're airing Vikings starring Josh Donaldson, who does look, in fact, like a Viking.
His new haircut is, in fact, inspired by Vikings.
Yeah, he looks super Viking-y. So... Yes. What it got us wondering, obviously, is which current major leaguer should be on a TV show, and what TV show should that be? Mike, why don't you go first?
Okay, first of all, let me just say that with Josh Donaldson actually getting that haircut, I really hope that he method acted the heck out of that role, where he just walked around as a Viking in character for a week.
Oh my God, me too. I hope he like hewed a longboat out of a tree and like rode it around.
Yeah. I hope he still does that.
You know, goes to sleep with the war paint on his face. So outside of reality television, because I think we can all agree that like Mike Trout belongs on Storm Chasers, and like that feels like a cop out for me to use that one.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, I don't know if you guys are aware. I'm sure you are, but the Mets clubhouse has a lot of Game of Thrones fans in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And to me, Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard already have the lock to play a character on Game of Thrones, and they kill characters off so frequently anyway that I'm sure they're running out of people to serve as extras. So it just seems like a match made in heaven to me for the Mets pitching staff to, you know, have a season run on Game of Thrones.
It's a good idea.
That would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, who's going to last the longest on that show. Because people die on that show all the time.
Constantly.
Like you said, so.
And Noah's like a big guy. That's frequently a descriptive characteristic of many characters on that show is a giant.
That's so true. They all kind of, The only one who doesn't really fit that is Harvey, I feel like. He doesn't really look like a Game of Thrones character.
No, he'd be like an advisor.
He's like on Mad Men. He's on a different show.
Yeah, I feel like Harvey can only be on Twitter, you're allowed to wear a peacoat.
On Game of Thrones, everyone's names are like, they're just people's names. Like, okay, John, that's a name. Catelyn is just Caitlyn without an I. Like, Cersei's uncle is named Kevin. It's straight up named Kevin.
Uncle Kev.
It would not be that weird if some guy named Matt was just around.
I guess that's true. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
Game of Thrones is a good one. Gemma, what do you got?
I misinterpreted this question in terms of like I didn't go with a current major leaguer.
That's fine.
I just came up with one in this brief amount of time, but I'll tell you my initial selection and then I'll tell you my replacement one. So I watched all of Mozart in the Jungle.
Okay.
Because I love Gael García Bernal. Surprise, obviously I love him.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that show. I was in band for a little bit. I played the flute. We played, you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm sure you could guess that I played the flute, but I miss it a lot.
Hashtag Gemma fact.
Yes, and it was fun. So I really enjoyed the show. I had a lot of friends who were oboe players, and there's a big oboe connection in the show. And I enjoyed that show so much. I was thinking, like, who could make a great cameo on that show? And I went with Bernie Williams. Because he won a Latin Grammy.
Wow.
He loves music. He said he's never had a bad day playing music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's also got a very, like, exciting personality as a musician.
Interesting.
You know, and that's a big part of Mozart in the Jungle, is that these big music personalities clash and become friends and et cetera. So I think it would be just a really great couple of episode arc where I don't know, they go on trips a lot, so they just like end up with this like Latin jazz band, and there's like fusion of the orchestra and Bernie's band, and it would be so fun.
That's a great idea.
And it's also a show about New York. It's set in New York, and he obviously a big part of the New York sports scene, so that could just tie it all together.
Wow, really, that's a good idea.
I'm gonna pitch it to Amazon.
You need to let them know.
They're gonna
know.
Be like, please stop emailing us your weird ideas for stuff. You already emailed us 10 things about all these baseball TV shows you want to make about ghosts and like dead ball era towns.
Okay, but those shows should be made.
I know, they should be made. Amazon
needs to reply.
Email me back. Then I decided, you know, when you said current, I was like, well, you know, Zooey Deschanel is going to be off of New Girl for a while. Mm-hmm. Who should take her place? The quirkiest Major League Baseball player, Hunter Pence.
Oh, yeah. He's adorkable.
He is adorkable.
No, that's a word.
Hey, that's how they advertise that show.
Yep.
And I feel like he's perfect for that.
Yep.
That's a good one. So I, as we established last week, CJ Wilson, car aficionado. As you know, I'm a big fan of Top Gear, the BBC motoring program that is currently going through some drama with its many hosts and replacement hosts and whatnot.
Yes.
So I feel like just broom all of them out and just let CJ Wilson handle it.
Let him recreate
the show in his own image. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems a little bit like maybe too much commitment for him, considering he is a professional baseball player. So maybe that won't work out. So instead of that, I decided that this is the much better solution, which is there is a TV show called Star Wars Rebels, which is an animated TV show set in the Star Wars universe before Episode 4, essentially sort of toward the end of the prequel trilogy, right before Episode 4. And why not let resident MLB Star Wars superfan Sean Doolittle be a character on Star Wars Rebels?
Wouldn't that make the most sense? That's really cute.
Yeah, that'd be great. He voices his own character.
Right, he would love it.
And also, if it's a voiceover part, he could just do it all in like 2 days and then go back to...
All on the road. He wouldn't even have to be there. He could just do it from his hotel room, whatever. It doesn't matter. That seems like
this is
an obvious solution.
That is logistically feasible as heck, man.
Yeah.
That is.
So put him on that show.
Not in all the eyes.
Yes. Put his girlfriend on there, too.
She's the best.
She just loves Star Wars, as she made very clear in her tweets about that. I think that needs to happen. They can both be Jedi.
Seconded. Yes.
Good. I'm glad you're on board with this.
I am, even though I don't care about Star Wars.
Okay, whatever. We're gonna change the subject.
You know that I do now care about Star Wars because I really did like the new movie.
Okay. Well, regardless of all of that.
Yes.
Earlier this week, you spoke with Tyler Beatty.
I did. Yes. He's a Giants prospect. He's a pitcher, but he's also a rapper.
Yeah.
And he sent us one of his songs. And so we just caught up, talked a little bit about how he feels about music. He could also be on Mozart in the Jungle, you know, hanging out. Bernie Williams, Gael Garcia Bernal. And we talked about that, what his life is like in the minors, and et cetera.
Cool. Well, let's take a listen.
What inspired you to record this particular song?
Well, so I recorded 5 songs. So I made an EP is what it's called, like a mini mixtape or a mini album, I guess you could call it. And it was sort of just, I wanted to explain to people or take people through my transformation in faith, kind of walk them through, you know, my walk with Christ and kind of who I am now as a person, as opposed to the songs I released my freshman year of college, which were sort of, you know, I made them sort of for me. I wanted to tell people why I made the decision to go to college instead of sign at a high school with the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my best of trying to portray that, you know, my emotions and my opinions on that through those couple songs that I made. And I think, you know, this time around, as opposed to the songs being for me back then, the songs that I made now are for other people. It was a chance for me to be transparent, to be vulnerable, to kind of walk people through my struggles that I faced, my adversities, my dark points, and then sort of my, you know, my coming to this new life with Christ and being able to be born again and just, you know, kind of find that peace and joy for life that I sort of missed out on or that I sort of lost when I was trying to find myself. And that's what these songs are about. And this one song in particular, One Life, just truly talks about just being you know, able to follow your heart and follow what you love to do and being able to glorify God through that. So it's a sort of like an inspirational few songs. And this one in particular is one that could, you know, give you chills just kind of thinking about the experiences that I've gone through.
So you say you like to write about your experiences a lot. Does that mean we can look forward to a song about maybe some of your time in the minor leagues?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see why not. I mean, this is something I hopefully can do each offseason, just putting a few songs out there. I've been lucky enough to kind of have a little bit of a following for my music over the past couple of years since college, and it's been cool. It's been cool to have people sort of call me by my alias, my rap name, Beta, Young Beta, mm-hmm. some people call me. So it is funny, but at the same time, it's certainly something I enjoy doing, and it's a passion of mine to just be able to share people, let people kind of inside on who I am, sort of humanize, you know, who I am and separate the baseball from, you know, who I am off the field, which is something that I think fans would be really excited to kind of dive into more with players. So, yeah, I'll certainly try to make a song about the minor league soon.
Oh, sounds great. So you managed to cross the line. You're a baseball player, you're a musician. On the opposite end, which musician do you think would make the best baseball player?
Let's see. That's a tough question because I know a few of them are talented basketball players. Some have played football. Gosh, that's a really good question. I would say J. Cole. He's a great athlete. Mm-hmm. I know he's a really good basketball player. He's one of the few artists that I kind of draw inspiration from. So I'll go with J. Cole just because he's one of my favorites. But I actually, now that I think about it, Mike Studd, I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a baseball player at Duke. He's friends with Marcus Stroman. He played baseball at Duke, so I guess he'd take the cake there. He was probably going to be a professional baseball player before he got hurt and before he found his interest in rap, too. So Mike Studd, for sure.
All right. I think that could be a pretty decent team. You know, J. Cole in that lineup somewhere. Could be a good time.
Yeah, it'd be tough to decide the lineup.
So tell us something about your time in baseball that we might not know, something about you that you want to share, like something about the minor leagues that you think people might not be aware of.
That's tough. I think there's a lot that people aren't aware of. I mean, it's certainly, a semi-difficult lifestyle in terms of the travel, in terms of the time that we're on a bus and then the time that we go out and play on the field. You know, we'll be traveling 12 hours on the East Coast from Virginia up to New Hampshire or Boston area and mm-hmm. have to get off the bus and play a game, you know, that night. So it's a little difficult. We don't get paid as much as the big league players, which I think people get confused. You know, they hear, you know, professional baseball player and they automatically think, you know, you should be driving these fancy cars. You should be, you know, paying for every meal. But realistically, in the minor leagues, we get paid a total of around $7,000 to $8,000 a year. And, you know, we gotta budget our money. We don't get paid in the off season. So I think the most surprising thing is hearing people have to get jobs in the off season to kind of support themselves and be able to pay for things during the season because we don't get paid a lot of money. So that's certainly something that can catch people off guard and surprise them when they hear about that.
Oh yeah, for sure. You talk about traveling 12 hours plus to get to different games. What's the strangest thing or your favorite thing that's ever happened to you on the road?
Oh gosh. There's a lot of times where the bus breaks down a little bit. We'll have to grab a cab or an Uber with a couple of the players, get back to the hotel, reach our destination safely. There's some difficult trips. I feel bad for the bus drivers because they have to be awake from that, you know, 11 p.m. all the way through the night until about 7, 8 a.m. And that's a tough time to drive. So we've had a couple of scrapes with some other 18-wheelers where the mirror scrapes the side of our bus. That'll kind of scare you and wake you up in the middle of the night. And other than that, I mean, just some normal things. We'll play some card games on the bus and just kind of have some fun and try to pass the time.
You ever do, like, camp sing-alongs?
We definitely do some sing-alongs. Every song that you could think of, you know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, we'll do those. We'll do some freestyles in the back with some players that like to freestyle along with me and some other guys. And, so we try to step out of our comfort zones in the minor leagues. You start to see kind of who has a hidden talent and what they're good at and things of that nature. So it gets fun. We start to kind of take back our egos and start to have some fun and enjoy ourselves.
That sounds like a great time. So if you had to, say, record an album with some of your teammates right now, who would they be?
He's going to love that. I'd give him a shout-out. Derek Law, he's talented. let's see, who else? There's a lot of players who who say they can't freestyle or say they can't rap or sing, but they really can. So it's really just about kind of digging that talent out of them and kind of having them step out of the comfort zone. But Derek Law, if I had to do anything with anyone in the Giants organization, it'd be D-Law.
All right. All right. So when are you guys going to write a camp sing-along for your trips, for your bus trips?
We actually usually do. We'll sit next to each other, and we'll have one headphone in his left ear, one in mine, and we'll just start writing some rhymes. And then like after about 20 minutes, we'll spit each other each verse that we have and see if it's anything worth keeping. Usually half the time it's not that good, but I think with everything kind of takes practice, and we have some fun with it. We'll make some beats, some beatboxing, and just have fun with it. It's pretty funny.
That sounds great. That sounds like a great way to pass time on the bus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, and you can say no, obviously, but okay. Do you feel like dropping a few rhymes right now? You want to freestyle a little bit?
Sure, yeah, I definitely can.
All right, give us what you got.
All right, here we go. Been slept on, been to the top, thought I'd never drop so low that I get stepped on. I'll save that flow for next song. But I'll mention that these haters ain't the reason that I get strong. Get some, I feel the need to vent some. And invent something that teaches people some lessons. Had to flex some, so this ain't a session. Like the tracks I made the days I was a freshman. Over that, for a while I was over rap. At my lowest notice all around me was just overcast. Holding back, like throwing 80 with the shoulder back. Hoping for the moment people notice I'm not going back. Old life, old me. Old life, no peace, slowly got holy. He tested me slowly, invested his only son for just some lowly bum. Now that's a story, it's my testimony. Beta.
I am impressed. That was pretty great. I think everyone on your team should just be sing along with you on all your travels.
they've been listening. I've been forwarding them my songs. They like them. So as long as they like them, then I think other people will enjoy them as well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, before we wrap up today, I'm just going to ask you a few quick questions. We usually do these. Well, I'll give you a sentence, and you'll just fill in the blank at the end of it. The actor who would play me in the movie of my life would be?
Ben Affleck.
Oh, Ben Affleck. Are you Batman? Are you secretly Batman?
I'm from Boston, and he's one of my – him and Mark Wahlberg are a few of my favorite Boston actors. They at least they have the accent down. When I bring out the accent, they nail it.
You don't really sound like you have that much of a Boston accent.
I try to blend in. I don't want to sound too weird on an interview.
Gotcha. Well, the Bostonians would probably appreciate those soft R's.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they would.
Okay, next one. If I could only eat one food for the rest of my life, it would be?
Pizza.
What kind of toppings?
Grilled chicken.
Oh, healthy. Okay.
Yeah, I try to.
Well, you know, you're a professional athlete. You gotta... All right, next one. My weirdest fear is?
Spiders. I don't know if that's weird.
That's reasonable. Do you make other people get them for you?
Who get spiders?
Like if there's one like in your bed, would you have to have someone come kill it for you? Or like if you saw one on the floor?
100%, yes.
That's what minor league roommates are for, right?
Exactly, that's right.
All right, last one. My Secret Service code name would be?
I'm guessing Beta. I'd have to go with my rap name.
All right, I like that. Multi-purpose, it's a good one.
Yes, there we go.
All right, well, that's all the questions I have for today. Thank you so much for being on the Cup Forecast with us.
Absolutely, anytime. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, looking forward to more music from you and hoping you have a really great year this season.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it, Gemma.
Thanks. Thank
you.
That was awesome. Thank you for interviewing him. That was
it was
really
fun.
Cool.
Thanks, Tyler, for being on the show.
I know.
What a good sport.
He's very game to freestyle.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it was
that
also
was impressive,
really
right?
Super impressive.
He can freestyle. I guess he just does that on the bus all the time, like you said. So
that I was amazed hearing that. I have to say. I was not expecting it to be as good.
As
it was,
right, yeah, right? And it's very clean.
I don't
clean.
Mean any offense with that, but that was really good.
What we're saying is that you're very talented, Tyler.
Yes, Tyler, thank you for stopping by, and thank you for giving us some of your hot rhymes.
Yes, yeah, spitting some bars.
Yes,
indeed. That's what the kids say, right?
That's we're all very cool here on the
Cup Forecast. So cool.
And we're youths. But guys, unfortunately, we're out of time. And so I think what we need to do is take all of the information that we have just shared with one another, mm-hmm. with you listening at home, and compact it down into 140 characters, one tweet that accurately summarizes the entire podcast. Gemma, since you did the interview, why don't you go first in summarizing the tweet?
That seems like an unfair
it's
reason
totally unfair,
to make
but I'm
me
making
first
you do it anyway.
After
so
you
there.
Gave me the gift of no pop quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
Still have to do this first. Okay, let's do season 3 of Mozart in the Jungle, starring at Tyler Beatty. I don't think that's his actual Twitter handle, so I have to fix that. But okay, none of
fine.
That's in the tweet. Tyler Beatty, Bernie Williams, and the rest of the hashtag cup forecast.
Blocked.
Rude. I just gave you a cameo yeah. on an Amazon show.
Whatever. I'm
blocked. Golden
you.
Globe winning Amazon show, and you blocked me.
Yeah. I'm
so I'm changing the tweet to Mozart in the Jungle season 3 featuring Tyler Beatty, Bernie Williams, Gemma Kaneko, and Mike Bertha.
And not me.
And not, and explicitly not Dakota Gardner.
Whatever. Fine. Here, I'll go next. And then, Mike, you can get another minute to think about yours. Here's mine.
Sure, thanks.
Time to watch C.J. Wilson's Top Gear with my roommate and good friend, Mike Trout. Hashtag Cup Forecast.
So you're just using Twitter to write fanfic now
about my life.
How you wish you were
watching
best friends.
C.J. Wilson's Top Gear with my best friend, Mike Trout. Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Blocked.
In case you want to know what my dreams are like, that is what they're like. All right, Bertha, what do you have? What is your tweet?
My tweet would be, it'd start with a period and then David Price's handle, which is David Price 24 at period at David Price 24. Let's move in, marathon, Game of Thrones, and make our dogs be friends.
Aww.
Aww.
That's simple, a good one.
That is a good one.
We both faved that.
Yeah, because it's
I'll
cute.
It.
And as long as you also attach a picture
I'll
of your
I'll
dog.
I'll attach a picture of my dog making a sad face.
Yay!
So when you do it, puppy dog eyes.
Oh, that's okay. A good. That was far and away.
I might
the best
retweet
tweet.
It. Yeah. If the dog
Gemma
picture is there.
We had mutually assured tweet destruction here, which means
yeah.
you won our tweet.
I appreciate that.
If you listening have a better, more accurate tweet that sums up this podcast in 140 characters, tweet it at us at Cut4 using the hashtag Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones. Well, I don't know. I'll reply to some of them.
Yeah, if
that's
you know.
Fun.
You want to direct them to us?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, why not? You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. You can read all the content we produce at mlb.com/cut4. Everything is there. We're all there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, essentially. So go there and read all of the baseball things.
Yeah, Dakota has never
yeah,
not
never
worked.
Not worked. So that's where I am all the time. Also, go to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast while you're there. Why not rate us 1 to 5 stars? And if you write a review, we will read it on the Cut4Cast. That is a promise. And tweet any other thoughts, any other ideas you have at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. Gemma, thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Mike, thank you for being here and joining us from cold Philadelphia.
Oh, no problem. You know, anytime you guys want to have me on a John, you just let me know.
Can you bring your dog in?
Yeah, this was definitely a John. Your dog is a John. We're all Johns.
Yeah, I'm a John. You're a John. We're all Johns. Hey.
It's a beautiful song.
Can I change my tweet to that?
Yeah. But mostly, thank you for listening to this, John, and we'll talk to you next, John.